Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. On the show today, we have CU Times' Sarah Cook talking EMB, Trailblazers, RBC2, and International Credit Union Day. So check it out. Your Trailblazers nominee deadline, which was just happened last week, but I wanted you to kind of give a shout out about it because it's a really cool event that happens every year at the GAC.
Thank you. Yeah, we love to highlight the best of credit unions, and we just closed out nominations, as you mentioned. Every year at CUNA's GAC, we host our Trailblazer Awards event. Very, very popular event there. Get a couple hundred credit union executives, including Mike.
I'm usually there.
We're looking forward to hosting that again. We got to pick our winners over the coming weeks, and then we got to keep it a secret till February. Yes. So
mom's a word, you know, it's just you and me. All right. Nobody's going to know. Well, I love that. You guys highlight some great people, obviously technology CEO of the year, but there's also like community award type stuff or volunteer award. So, I mean, so really it kind of covers the gamut. So it's a pretty cool event. I highly recommend it. So good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think it's good.
Yeah. Say, let's do a little rapid fire news stuff because there's a lot of big stuff going on in the news right now. The TRID cleared the House last week. What's the next step? What does this mean and what are the next steps?
Clearing the House means it has to go through the Senate.
All righty. You know that very well, being on the D.C. beat in your old days.
been a few years, but yeah. For people, just a little background, yeah. TILA-RESPA integrated disclosure is a CFPB rule that would require credit unions to amend, and others, to amend how they provide their TILA and RESPA disclosures. Mm-hmm. And yes, as Mike said, that passed the House, and the rule is looking to delay the effective date. The effective date technically was October 3rd for that, but there would be not necessarily a delay in the effective date. I kind of misspoke. But it would allow credit unions to be held harmless against private legal action or regulatory action until February 1st of next year, just to give them time to get everything in order, get their disclosures in order. So the problem with the law that is currently in Congress to delay this is that President Obama has promised to veto it. So
that's a problem.
Yes, that's a problem.
That's a sticky issue.
Yes.
Well, he's out here in San Diego right now at some golf course, so I can run over there right now and start lobbying for you. So
absolutely. Absolutely.
Goodness gracious. If things were easy, it would be wonderful. Hey, let's talk about the EMV compliance thing. I mean, that happened last week as well. And you guys are doing something interesting. Can you give us a quick little peek on what you guys are doing on that?
Sure, yeah. So October 1st was the deadline for compliance. And then, what we're doing is we're going to field a survey very shortly to credit unions to find out how many are actually ready and up and running with their EMV. Mm-hmm. We're going to field a survey for a couple weeks later this month, and then we'll have the results out in November, just in time for your Thanksgiving break reading.
Yummy. Excellent. And isn't it also a question of the retailers being ready with their proper equipment as well? So it's kind of a twofold thing.
Yes. I think, I didn't really find any data on credit unions and their readiness, but I have a feeling the retailers, at least as a percent of transactions, are a little more ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the reasons for that vary for credit unions being delayed. Some are just working on a rolling deadline as, you know, as expires come up.
Yeah.
Others are focusing on their travelers, their international travelers who have cards, and then moving on to others. Mm-hmm. Not too many doing it en masse, but I suppose that is an option. And then there are others who, I'm guessing, again, we haven't done the survey yet, probably decided just not to do it.
I've heard
just
that.
Take the liability.
That. Yep, I've heard that story, yeah. But the important thing is, I mean, like that last stat you just, I mean, the last thing that you just said is like, try not to be that last credit union because the weakest link is the most vulnerable link to the fraudster. So you got to be careful. You got to keep that in mind. So.
Absolutely. And even, if it's a breach of $2 million credit union and it doesn't really matter, it stymies the entire credit union name.
No doubt. All right. Next question. What's up with CUNA? What is going on? Based on your last column, don't kill your revival. I mean, what is going on over there?
You know, I think Jim Nussle has a great message he's been putting out there.
I agree, yeah.
His message has been transparency. They've had kind of this dominoes moment mm-hmm. where they're like, yeah, our crust tastes like cardboard, you know? But I think there's some mixed messages out there because obviously the board just rejected the task force recommendations to shrink the size of the board, allow separate membership mm-hmm. from the league versus CUNA.
The whole dual thing, yeah.
Yeah. So, and then also, you know, after Jim made his remarks, the public relations team at CUNA came and said he misspoke, you know, and that he meant to say that he had heard from credit union members mm-hmm, of CUNA mm-hmm. that they were bloated, that they mm-hmm, were mm-hmm. Inefficient. Mm-hmm. But then Jim came out and said it again the next week at New Jersey Credit Union League. So I hope that CUNA sticks with this message of transparency. I think they demand it from the NCUA all the time.
Yeah.
What's good for the goose is good for the gander. And, you know, I think CUNA has a trust issue right now. And being honest and transparent is the best way to resolve that.
Concur. Fully concur. All right. Guess what's rearing its ugly head once again? Is the RBC2 coming up here October 15th? Well, I want to say ugly head. I mean, it's just rearing its head again because of what occurred almost this time. Well, earlier this year, because it was just the commentary period. Oh my gosh! I mean, what's going on here, Sarah?
Second comment period. No, we're not having a second comment period. Yes, it was a big mess, and it's only slightly more attractive now. it's still kind of ugly. There is kind of this battle of wills between NCUA and Congress. It's a very interesting situation right mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. The RBC2 is improved from the first version with lower risk weightings for real estate and business loans mm-hmm. And a lower capital ratio from whopping 10.5% to a slightly more modest 10% leverage ratio there.
0.5.
Credit unions aren't terribly pleased with it still. It will cost the agency $3.7 million to implement on it within the agency alone over the next couple of years.
Wow.
Each credit union, a non-complex credit union, will spend about $600 on average, and the complex credit unions will spend double that. To comply with this. And what Congress is doing, they have the stop and study bill that has passed the House Financial Services Committee.
Yeah.
And that bill would require the NCUA to study before passing the risk-based capital rule. The sponsors of the bill actually wrote Chairman Debbie Matz, last week saying, we'd like you to study this before involuntarily, because they weren't going to make it through all of Congress and the machinations there before the rule came up on the 15th. And Debbie said, thank you very much, but no, I think we'll go ahead and pass our rule and then we'll look at it in her response letter, which was very interesting. And so now, you know, we're just going to see what the agency comes out with
mm-hmm.
and whether Congress does anything about that.
As the RBC2 rolls and turns, the soap opera continues. Never a dull moment. It's never a dull moment. Love it. Hey, some happier news here. International Credit Union Day takes place later this week, and I think we're all excited about that as a whole. What do you guys have anything planned, or what's your take on the whole on this day? I mean, it's pretty important global-wise for our industry, and we can always bring it down to the local level as well.
Yeah, I think it's great that International Credit Union Day takes the time to recognize that it's not only a U.S. movement. It is a worldwide movement.
Indeed.
And often we get stuck in our four little walls and don't realize that there, you know, we're not alone, that there are others who are having the same issues. Maybe have already gone through it or mm-hmm. are going through what we just went through with the economic crisis mm-hmm. and different things that we can learn, particularly, you know, Australia and Canada seem to be 10, 20 years ahead of the United States with their credit union movement. So it's, you know, interesting to study what everybody else is doing. And also as the co-chair of the DC Sister Society of the Global Women's Leadership Network, we also work internationally to support various women's issues along with WOKU across the globe. So it's, I think it's a good thing.
I agree. I mean, we're going to have Brian on for the show, Brian Branch, that is, for on October 15th for International Credit Union. And he always reiterates, you know, credit unions may be on the other side of the planet or on the sun, wherever, but we all kind of share the same issues. It's amazing how different we are, but yet how we share the same issues. It's just amazing. So, I mean, it is a global thing. So it's really cool to kind of take a day and step back and highlight that and celebrate it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right. Well, that's the news. Is there anything else you want to add, Sarah Cook? I love the rapid-fire news coverage. Lots of good stuff going on.
You know, I think you covered it all. You must read Credit Union Times.
I do. I have it right here. All righty, Sarah. Thank you again for taking time out of your busy schedule to chat with us. I know you're up to your earlobes and stuff to do, so we look forward to having you back on.
Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.